Life doesn't always go according to plan. Take your outlines with me. I'm Robin. Welcome to Eastlake. This is a church for every different type of person. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come from or what's going on in your life or what's happening with the plans that you've made for your life. We're in a series called Plan B. How does God get in the middle of plans that are so unlike the original plans that we made? Last week, we started off talking about a person in the Bible. His name is David. He's famous for killing this giant. But what we saw is David was a person that understood what it was like when my plans don't turn out, when life doesn't go according to plan. And we saw this phase that he goes through. Sometimes for David, circumstances would control him. And his hope would be tied to his circumstances, so his hope would go up and down, up and down, up and down. And remember, I asked you to jot a little note. When my hope is just tied to my circumstances, that's exactly what happens. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And then sometimes he would go the other extreme, and he would try really hard to control his circumstances. But the same thing would occur based on his effort. His hope would go up and down on how successful he was to control his circumstances. And then we saw at the end of the story, God had created this moment. In fact, God will always create a moment for us to turn back, to take a trust step, and depend on him. And David kept missing these moments, and finally, he steps into a moment. And when he does, he remembers, I can trust God. I can depend on God. And trusting God creates a type of hope that's beyond circumstance. And it was a huge growth step for him. And this weekend, it sort of leads us to the topic this weekend, and it's going to be about spiritual growth. And I want to ask this question to you. How satisfied are you with your personal growth? So men and women, any age, children, whoever's in the room, just ask yourself this question with me. How satisfied are you with your personal growth, your growth as a husband? And just think with me. Your growth as a mom. Are you growing kinder, more patient? Are you growing generous? And your relationship with Jesus, does that seem to be growing like you'd like it to grow? When you think about you and your personal growth, and at Eastlake we have this sort of a phrase that we use. It's called come as you are, and it's good news because it means when it comes to Jesus, you can bring all your baggage, anything that's happened in your past, you know, whatever's been done to you, whatever you've done to anybody else, whatever's happening in your present, however your life has gone, Jesus says, come as you are. You don't have to change anything. So we try to be a church just like that, come as you are. And sometimes it's so refreshing to know I don't have to change anything. I don't have to jump through any religious hoops. I don't have to clean anything up. I mean, really? I can just come to Jesus just as I am. Come as you are. Good news. And then the second part of the phrase is, but you don't have to stay that way. And that's great news. Come as you are, good news. You don't have to stay that way, great news. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if this all it was is I could come to Jesus just as I am, but nothing changed. I didn't get healed from any of the things that happened to me as I was growing up. I didn't change the way I treated my family. Nothing changed in the way I handled my finances. I come to Jesus just as I am, and there's someone I've never been able to forgive, and I still can't forgive them. Because nothing changes. I don't grow. I don't get healed. See, to be with him is to come as you are. So get the word out to your friends and your family. Say, man, I go to a church. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're at. Anybody can go there. And there's even better news. You can change. You can grow. You can be healed. You can get better. You start where you're at, and then you grow. And sometimes Jesus uses the plan Bs. They're the best places for our growth. Look in your notes. The plan B gives us an opportunity to grow. In the Bible, the book of Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's for the Lord's purpose that prevails. I have a buddy, and he's right in the middle of a plan B right now. He'd planned his entire life to never have children. And he had a long-term relationship with someone and slip up, and now he's in a plan B. He's no longer in the relationship, but he has a daughter. And she's 1 year old. And this is a guy that his entire life had planned, I'm never going to have children. I just don't see myself being a dad. It's not for me. My plan is I'm never having kids. And now he has a one-year-old daughter. And I've kind of watched this thing unfold, and I was talking to him this last week, and I said, hey, man, what's it like for you? Because you were so certain. You were so certain that you never wanted children. Now, here's the thing. I've watched him with his little girl, and he's a really good dad. He's very gentle and sensitive with her, and he goes the extra mile all the time to make sure he's with her. He arranges his schedule so he never misses a time with her. And this guy's a really good dad. So I asked him, I said, what's that like for you? Because you were so sure about your plans. And he said, well, let me tell you something. What I was so certain that I never wanted turned out to be exactly what I needed most. And then he said this, and I think I'm becoming a better person because of it. So if you're in the middle of a plan B right now, maybe you're like, I don't know how I got this family, or how did I end up living here? I didn't plan on having this job, or whatever it is. It's just like you're in a huge plan B. Just know, from God's perspective, and I hope yours, it can be the greatest place for growth. Now today we're going to talk about a person in the Bible. His name is Joshua. And Joshua comes from a unique time in the history of Israel. You probably know from the movies about Moses and the Ten Commandments that there was a time when Israel were slaves in Egypt. And Joshua was a part of the group of Hebrews that were delivered out of Egypt, and Moses comes, and there's the famous story about the parting of the Red Sea, and he's this great leader, and all these Israelites are rescued, and now they're free, and they're moving forward with a plan. God has said something to them, and maybe God has said something to you about your life, and you started to put a plan together around it. So it's not just a plan, there's also a promise. God had promised them, I have a place for you to live, I have a land for you to go, where you'll be able to develop into a nation. And so they start to put a plan together, and as they move towards this area that they're going to be living in, this land that they're going to have, stuff starts to get a little difficult. And Moses, who's the leader, has this assistant. He's the number two guy, and his name is Joshua. And just when they're ready to go into the promised land and work their plan, they can't find the trust that they once had for God. They know they had a promise. They remember being delivered. They knew what it was like to walk through the Red Sea. But just at the moment, when it's the time to take hold of everything you've been planning, they drop it, and they fail. Moses dies, Joshua becomes the leader. And all the people that were supposed to take this land, none of them get to go in. Now we're going to pick up the story when Joshua was 80 years old, and all these people have died. And Joshua now, he's in charge of all their children. He's much older, and they're getting another opportunity to work the plan, but it's plan B. Joshua is in the middle of a huge plan B. Plan A was they were going to go in with Moses, and he was going to be the assistant, and they were going to take the land, and they were going to have this place where they all got to live, and it was going to be awesome, and none of it happened. 40 years later, he's 80 now, and he gets to work the plan B. So some things we're going to see. Write in your notes, we stretch from safety to security. What happens when we're growing in a plan B? Everybody knows what it's like to stretch. I mean, we can stretch so far, and then at some point it really begins to hurt. And this is kind of a story about a stretching time that happens and a growth time for Joshua. And let me read you this part of the Bible about Joshua. And the Lord said to Joshua, today we will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, remember that you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, so everybody knows what the Ark is. That's what that is. The Lord of all the earth set foot in the Jordan. Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Now, maybe some background now. It's because this isn't some little small little creek. And this is the exact same river that they came to the first time and never crossed. So now Joshua's there again. He's got all the people, same river. And it comes 7,000 feet from the mountains, and it comes down into this valley. And this is the flood season. So this is a roaring white water affair, and they're all standing there. And their plan is to go across the river. Don't you just hate it when you have a plan, and before you even, right off the bat, there's a problem? I mean, you don't even get started. I mean, they're going to get started. Okay, now we're going to go do it again. And they get right to the same problem they had last time. And it's a big problem. My grandpa used to tell this story about my dad. Him and my grandmother planned this vacation. They're going to take him and my uncle, my dad and my uncle, to see the tallest mountain in the continental United States. It's Mount Whitney. So they go on vacation there. And I guess the first time my dad saw it, he looked at the mountain. He said, "That's not so big. I can climb that." So my grandfather pulls the car over and says, "Okay, you get out and go climb it, and we'll wait right here." So my dad, takes the bluff. He jumps out of the car, and I think that's where I must get that. And he runs across the street, and there's a little tiny ditch with some water there. He turns and yells at my grandpa, "Hey, I can't climb the mountain. How am I supposed to get across this thing?" And my grandpa shakes his head and says, "Get back in the car." But this isn't like that. This is a huge white water affair. This is a huge river. And it's when we see it and we start to have the self-talk and it's very negative. You're like, "What was I thinking?" When's the last time you had a plan and you started towards it? And as you started toward it, it means schedule changes and it means money. Maybe it means staying up late. It means sacrificing, whatever it is. You hit it right off the bat and you're like, "What was I thinking? I can't do this." Or how about this one? "This can't be God's will for my life. If God really wanted me to do that, it wouldn't start out this way." The self-talk comes along. Or here's one of the things we say to ourselves or we tell other people. "I've been thinking about it, and my life is pretty good right now. I don't know why I thought I had to do that. I mean, I think I'm just going to play it safe. Keep everything the way it is." Of course, here's the problem. You're standing on the edge of the river, and you can see over to the other side what you want. It's not like it goes away. "Well, I've got to go back to school. It means I'm going to study at night and I have to pay for tuition. But if I go back to school, I'm going to get the promotion or the career that I want." And then when you start to hit the books or you have to write the first check, there's your river. What's your Jordan River? And you come up to it and you stand there. And you've been looking into your future, seeing your plan, and then all of a sudden your eyes come down and all they can see is the white water going by. "I'll be swept away. I'll never make it across that." And then you look again and you can see where you want to go. That's the hard part, isn't it? When you have a plan, you can see where you want to go. "I want to be a manager someday. I think I'll do a great job as a manager." You can see yourself as a manager. "I want to have a family someday. I want to be married to someone. I want to be a great dad to my stepchildren." You can see it. It's like you can see it and feel it, but there's a Jordan right in front of you, and you'll have to cross it. It'd be one thing if you just forgot about what you desire and want, but we don't. And that's where Joshua's at. He's there again. As he's probably standing there in this river and he's thinking about where he wants to go and he's thinking about how he's going to get across this river, God had given him a way to handle it. And I want to read it to you. It's not going to come up in your outline, but I've got it here. I'll read it to you. This is what God says to him. "Now the Jordan was in flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by on the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. So here's what had happened. That's kind of the end of the story. Let me tell you the beginning of it. God tells Joshua, all you have to do is come up to the edge of the river and just step into it and I'll stop it. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather God stop the river and then I step into it. It's like, Lord, why, or how about this? Lord, why couldn't you just have put it what I want on this side of the river? Why does there even have to be a river? I mean, why do I even have to deal with a river? I mean, just let what I want. Why couldn't the promised land be on this side of the Jordan? And then if you're going to put it on that side of the Jordan, do the miracle now so I can see it, and then I'll go across. Unless one of the most important types of growth is to trust God. If one of the best stretches is to trust God. It says all you have to do, get everybody, can you imagine Joshua? Okay, everybody line up. Get into your families. Everybody get organized. Get those kids quieted down. Here we go. We're going across the river. Everybody's thinking, there's a crackpot leading this thing. Because they can't see anything. Where is your Jordan River right now? And you're standing at it. And God's asking you to take a trust step. And he's phrased in a way, as soon as you take a step, I will show up. And you're still waiting for him to show up, and then you'll take a step. Years ago, there was a woman that had asked if she could come and speak to me. She knew someone that went to our church, and somehow she had decided she wanted to come and talk with me. And so we set up a time, and she showed up at the office, and she came in and sat down in my office. And I said, hey, what's up? What do you want to talk about? And she started to unload this story, that she'd had this really awesome family, these two daughters, which I knew, how they had this great house. And her daughters were at the age now where one was married and the other one wouldn't be that long before they got married. And she had started dreaming about what it was going to be like to be a grandmother. And she sort of had these plans all worked out when she was going to retire. And she's just kind of painting this story for me. And then she said, I found out that my husband has been having an affair with another woman. And then she told me that when she confronted him, he finally broke down and said he had had many affairs throughout their marriage. And he had kept them all a secret. And nobody had ever found out. And all of a sudden, her plans, her life, there wasn't going to be play days with Grandma and Grandpa at the park. And she could hardly set foot in the house that she had imagined all the family dinners at. And she asked me this question. She said, do you really believe God could give me a happy life again? Robin, I've just come to ask you one question. Do you really believe God could give me a happy life again? And I remember sitting there and looking at her, and I didn't say anything for a while, and I said, well, I do believe that. But I think there's a different question. Can you forgive your husband? And boy, did her head drop. She looked up and she said, no. Now he's ruined everything. Years of betrayal. I have so many events in my life that I don't even know how to make sense of them now. Because there was a whole other story going on at the same time. Now the answer is no. And we agreed that we were going to talk three more times. So we'll set some times up and she's going to come and talk with me. And when she would come and talk with me, we'd get around to the same place every time. That was her Jordan River. She wanted to go forward. She said, I want to live in a different house someday. I want to meet someone. I want to rebuild. I want the future I thought I was going to have, but I'll have to have it with someone else. And she could see that promise out there, but right in front of her was this raging river of hate, bitterness, and resentment. She just couldn't even begin to step into it. And then one day, the third visit, we were talking about forgiveness. And what I started to recognize is she felt like she had to muster up the strength to forgive. She had to do it in her own power. And I said, oh, no, no, no. In fact, the way you start to forgive someone is to admit that you never can and stop trying. And then turn to Jesus and thank him for forgiving you. Because once you've received forgiveness, you'll have some to give. And I watched her step in. And when she went through, I watched her rebuild. Move out of her house. Move to another area where her daughters were. Eventually met someone. And off she went. She went from standing and hoping that there was a huge river in front. What's your Jordan River? And it's real for you. Maybe it is forgiving someone. Maybe there's someone that's done something so horrific and you're like, I can never forgive them because if I do, they just get away scot-free. That's your Jordan River. Maybe it's just effort. You know, the effort that it takes to get to where you want to go. You're like, no. What's your Jordan? God comes to Joshua and he says to him, very simply, I'll take care of the river, but you'll have to take the first step into the river. And I'm like you. I stand at the river and whine and complain and how come God and geez, do something for me and this isn't fair and I'm just like you. And nothing happens until I take the step, the trust step. And when I do, and when we don't, we miss out on so much. There's a relationship that's all screwed up in my family, and I have to take some sort of a trust step, and I don't take it, so I miss out on the relationship. I have an opportunity to trust God with my finances and take a trust step, and I don't do it, so I just stay scared all the time. Tons of anxiety about money. Joshua knew all about that because he had seen it occur once before, 40 years earlier. He watched a whole group of people miss out on something. So this time, they take the step. And they move from safety to security. And let me give you the difference between the two, because safety is okay. I mean, we try to create safety in our relationships with people, but it tends to be pretty circumstantial. Safety is my circumstances around me make me feel safe. Security is much deeper. It's something I carry on the inside. It's an attitude and an attribute. And regardless of my circumstance and how safe they are or not, I can be secure. There's nothing safe about stepping into a raging river. But if I am trusting Jesus, I can feel secure as I do it. And it is a stretch. You know, if I try to touch my toes, which is pretty hard for me, I get to about right there. And it's like, ow. And if I'm going to, but here's the crazy thing, I can go further. But I have to stretch. Safety, just when I feel a little bit of pain, I stop. But I can go further. And further is security. When you're secure, you have hope. When you're standing in front of your Jordan and you feel secure, you can step in. So I want to ask one more time, what is your Jordan River? And if you were to take the trust step, remember this now, trying won't bring you closer to God, only trust will. And only depending on God will make you feel secure. Now look at the second thing in your notes. We stretch from comfortable to catalyst. I want to read you what happens here. It's a great end of this story. This is in the Bible. Go out into the middle of the Jordan where the ark is. So that's this big box that they would carry around, and it was a symbolism for God is with us. And each of you is to carry out a stone on your shoulder, 12 stones in all. So now they're all on the other side. They've taken the trust step. They're all on the other side of the river, and they're probably like, whoa, it worked. I don't know if you've ever been on one of those like crazy, scary jet coasters, and when you get done, you're just like, made it. I'm good, you know. And that's where they're at. They're on the other side now. Whew, did you see that? That was awesome. And he stops everyone. And this is what he tells them to do, Joshua. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes. We will use them to build a monument. Circle that. So that in the future, when your children ask, what is this monument for? You can tell them it is to remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of God went across. The monument will be a permanent reminder to the people of Israel of this amazing miracle. So the men did as Joshua told them. So they're all on their side, and I don't know about you, but when my plan comes together, I usually race ahead, skipping and cheering and like, whoo-hoo, good for me. And Joshua stops all that. And maybe he's having a deja vu moment. Maybe deja vu. Maybe he's standing and he goes, where have I done this before? What? Maybe that's what's occurring. Because he's been through something just almost like this once before. When he was a young man. And God delivered all the Israelites out of Egypt. And he marched them all through the Red Sea on dry ground. And all the Egyptian soldiers got washed away when God moved his hand and the sea came back. And everybody was safe on the other side. It was this amazing miracle. One that I'm sure they thought they would never forget. But they did. And can you imagine that? I mean, you would think if you had a miracle where you walked through an ocean, I don't know what it must have been like, but I mean, you walk through an ocean, you walk through the Red Sea, God does that. You would think he would never forget that. But they did. Because when that group, when that generation hit the Jordan and it was their Jordan River to go through and all the challenges before them, somehow they couldn't recall and go, wait a minute, it's going to be okay because the last time we faced something really big, God came through for us. That was all gone. And so Joshua this time says, we're going to build a monument. Of course, here's the thing about monuments. You have to take a trust step for God to do something. You have to take a trust step to be able to go pick up a rock. No trust step, no rock. No rock, no monument. And isn't it crazy that God had him go through on dry ground? We think it'd be a big enough miracle if he just stopped the river and they all plodded through on mud. But they must have been like, dang, this is quite a God here. He even dries out the ground for us. Sometimes when you take a trust step, he'll exceed your expectations. And go through on dry ground, and he must have had a moment. Joshua's like, whoa, wait a minute. I have been here before. I remember having this amazing miracle, and somehow we all forgot. This time, we're going to do something to try to remember. So is there anything that God has done for you and you have forgotten? And you're facing something right now, you're ready to step into your Jordan, and somehow you're not recalling it. A monument never got built. One of the reasons we do build them is for our children. To be able to say to our kids when we face hard things as a family or we face difficult things, with our children, we're able to point back and say, remember now, we serve God. And remember when we went through this, we can point back to something that God has done. A monument. However, if you're standing at your Jordan and it requires a trust step, The river's not going to stop until you do. You can't get a rock unless you take it. No rock, no monument. And we need a monument. Look at the bottom line. Every plan is a partnership with God. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. So the question today was, how satisfied are you with your personal growth? And if you'll take a trust step, then you see God move. And once He has, you'll have something to build with.